Welcome back to Kaiser Report Summer Solutions Series. I'm Max Kaiser with Stacey Herber, and today we're going to be talking about the many selves of money, self-sovereignty, self-custody, and self-reliance. Joining us very quickly will be Jameson Lopp of Keys.Casa. Stacey.
Yes, and I just do want to say, of course, that Max and I did invest in Casa because we use the service, and it's amazing, really. So, Jameson, I want to look at a piece from Forbes magazine that somebody was tweeting about, and their article said that 15% of American adults now own some form of cryptocurrency. More than half of those invested for the first time in the first half of 2020. On average, they invested about $67.5 billion in cryptocurrency, roughly $4,000 per person. So lockdown stimulus money has been good for a lot of people. They're pouring their money into Robinhood app, and apparently many people are buying cryptocurrency. If they're buying Bitcoin, which they should be instead of crypto, what do they do now? Like, you know, there's no bailout, there's no second stimulus, there's no sort of moral hazard available in the Bitcoin space. So what do they do once they get that Bitcoin? Should they take it off an exchange? Should they put it on a hard wallet? What should they do?
Buying is only the first step. Generally, when you're buying in this space, you're not actually buying Bitcoin. You're buying the promise of a Bitcoin or a Bitcoin IOU. It is really similar to the banking system in that, you know, you might have a website that says you own a certain amount of money, a certain amount of Bitcoin, a certain amount of whatever. But when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, there's counterparty risk. And as long as someone else is actually holding on to that asset, then it can be taken from you or any number of things can go wrong. You might not be able to actually access it when you need it. So the first step is, you know, getting that IOU. The next step is learning how you turn that into the real asset that you control yourself.
So Casa offers key management. So to all the newbies out there who have apparently bought some Bitcoin this year, what are the keys? Why should they hire you to manage their keys, Jameson?
Well, the best way to describe what we do is actually we help users help themselves. We don't want to hold people's keys for them. That would just make us another type of bank. Instead, we want to give people software that is user-friendly, and we want to give them a level of service that they're not going to find with any of the custodial providers out there, where we are showing them how they actually create and manage their own keys and therefore control their own Bitcoin. And that is, you know, where I think a lot of the value proposition of Bitcoin is lying, is because you have the ability to be your own bank. But unfortunately, it can be very, very complicated and tricky waters to navigate, because there, along with this power, comes a lot of responsibility and a lot of ways that you can shoot yourself in the foot. And that is why over the past decade, many millions of Bitcoin have been lost due to various mistakes that people have been made. And we want to help people avoid all of those mistakes.
I will confess to myself having lost many Bitcoin in mistakes in the early days, especially when there were very few services available to help you protect your coins. So, I mean, even for somebody like myself, who's been around since it was a dollar and now it's over 11,000. So, you know, it is a difficult learning curve. And especially in this day and age where there's an ever escalating amount of moral hazard and intervention and rescues. In 2008, 2009, 10, we had the rescue of the banking system. The Goldman Sachs's and JP Morgan's of the world got rescued from all their bad bets. Now the entire world is being bailed out. People are sitting at home earning, 75% of Americans now earn more money sitting at home being bailed out from this pandemic system. So, you know, how does that, like, how have you seen the business? Have you seen this increase in Bitcoin? Because even Goldman Sachs now, who is one of the recipients, the walking embodiment of moral hazard, they are saying that the dollar is toast, that this is over because basically too many people are being bailed out from their bad decisions.
We have certainly seen an uptick in inbound interest of what some people call new coiners, basically people who have not yet taken the plunge and actually got ownership of any Bitcoin. And what we found is that the service level and the user friendliness that we're providing at Casa is actually a very strong fit for people who know nothing about Bitcoin, but they want to get into it and want to immediately take that next step of holding it themselves. Because if they're getting into it right now, then it's likely that they're doing so because of the macro conditions, because they want to avoid a lot of the counterparty risk and the systemic issues. And in order to do that, in order to really take a hold of that value proposition, they need to be holding and managing their own keys. And that's where we can really lend a hand.
So to give people an idea of the service, I think people are probably familiar with the idea of wealthy people go into a Swiss bank account or a Swiss bank or a private bank, and they go to the safe deposit boxes, and the bank has a key, and you've got a key, and you have to open the bank deposit box simultaneously, and then you have access to that box. So with Casa, it's a variation on this theme where it's a vaulting service and you have multiple keys and they're held in various locations, but everything is completely under control of the user or the person who's actually the owner of those coins. And the method is really ingenious. It uses both hardware wallets, cold storage wallets. It uses all kinds of security apparatus that gives a state-of-the-art vaulting services for Bitcoiners. You know, my question is that more and more you hear about people talking about, don't talk about your Bitcoin that you have any Bitcoin because you're going to get a $5 wrench attack. You know, you're going to get attacked. People are going to come into your home. You're going to get kidnapped. And but as services like Casa become more prevalent, that argument kind of diminishes a little bit, right? Because it's not like the old days where people actually have like paper wallets stuffed in a book somewhere in their bookshelf. If they have multiple signature or multiple key access on a vaulting service, which is like Casa, I think we enter a new period in this industry where people kind of understand that individuals, they don't keep their coins in their home anymore. It's vaulted in a very secure location. I think that's a huge leap forward, Jameson. Do your thoughts.
There is a reason why banks exist. There's a reason why a lot of people choose not to keep all of their cash or gold under their mattress at home. It's because that does create a lot of risk for physical attacks. So we're currently in this era of Bitcoin where a lot of people are keeping the keys to their digital gold literally under their mattress or, you know, in some drawer at home where they are susceptible to physical coercion. And the amazing thing about this protocol is that we have not only the ability to create vault-like solutions, but we can go a step further. We can do better than a bank vault, because even a bank vault is a single point of failure where a catastrophe could potentially destroy that single physical location. Now we can distribute the keys, and you can distribute them as far, as wide as you want, depending on your threat assessment. And we talk through with our clients what their own trade-offs are that they're willing to make. But, you know, imagine at an extreme level, we have people who are worried about even nation-state risk, and they are distributing their keys across different international borders, you know, with countries that are not diplomatically friendly with each other. So it's an amazing level of redundancy and resilience that we can create now in the digital form.
Right. It's like Bitcoin itself is gold, except it's better. Or Casa is like a vaulting service, but actually better. So it's just an evolution toward things getting better and better, because people want hard money, they want unconfiscatable money, and particularly in an environment of paper money being printed by the trillions and trillions every single day now. I saw a statistic that America printed in the last month more than they've printed in 200 years. And it's just unbelievable what's happening to the paper money. Even The Economist magazine ran a story, free money. So it tells you where we're going with this.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't need to throw out thousands of years of physical security best practices. We should still make use of them, but now we can build on top of them and really step up our game.
I did hear, by the way, the earlier some of your attack dogs in the background. So I know you're not subject to the $5 wrench attack. But let's go over this the security aspect of Bitcoin, okay? Because, you know, again, there's a shift in mindset. We're exiting the fiat system, even Goldman Sachs.
the main beneficiary of the fiat system is saying that this is over. So it's not like it's going to be easy. No giant shifts in culture or monetary policy or economics is ever a pleasant thing. It's never easy. So it's you know, there is a learning curve that you're going to have to climb onto when you get into Bitcoin. And many Americans are now buying Bitcoin, apparently. So, like, what are, like, walk us through the process of, you know, how the hardware wallet versus the multisig, like, how it works with your multi-signature product.
The entire premise of what we've designed at Casa is to eliminate single points of failure. And there are a variety of different levels of security that people can have in Bitcoin. Level zero is you don't even have your own keys. You know, they're with a trusted third-party custodian. The next level after that is actually taking control of your keys and perhaps putting them in a software wallet on a phone or a laptop or whatever. But then you've got to worry about a lot of things like hackers, because it's online. Malware or other vulnerabilities could result in those keys getting taken by someone, and then they take all of your money. So the step after that is you want to get those keys off the internet. And that's what these hardware devices are for. We create this physical air gap so that no one can just reach over the internet and grab your private keys. But while that protects you against a lot of digital attack scenarios, you still have this single point of failure where if that device gets destroyed, stops working, if your backups, which are additional complications you have to worry about, if those become inaccessible, then there's a question of, like, how do you recover from this emergency disaster scenario? Because if we're thinking about keeping potentially a large portion of your wealth in this setup, you want there to be absolutely no way that you can lose it all. So we take not one device, but multiple devices, and basically use them to constitute an entire logical wallet. So that now, instead of just having a single signature from a single device, you have to go around and basically collect signatures from multiple devices. It also means if any of these single devices stops working, gets lost, whatever, it's fine. It's not a catastrophe. You can just go buy a new device and actually reconstitute your setup, basically do a device rotation within our software. So it's all about more resilience, more robustness.
Right. We're going to be talking with Jameson some more after the break. If you're trying to find the company, it's Casa Bitcoin in your search engine. The website is keys.casa. We're going to be talking more about this right after the break. Welcome back to the Kaiser Report. Max and Stacy talking to Jameson Lopp from Casa. If you're trying to find it in your search engine, just use Casa, C-A-S-A, Bitcoin. Casa Bitcoin. You'll find out all about this, or go to the website at keys.casa. So, Jameson, of course, this is great service for people with oodles of wealth, and you've got billions already kind of that you're securing for folks, but actually this is open to everybody. There's no minimum at Casa. The model is a monthly subscription, and I think you actually get some free months to sign up, and you can test, you know, kick the tires and test it out. Then there's various levels depending on, you know, how serious you want to get. But this is really for everybody, right? There is no average user of this. This is really could be used by anybody, right?
It's all across the board. Even more recently, we relaunched our free product, which is just a single key wallet on your phone. Just if people want to get in and check out the user interface. Now, of course, if you want higher security, you want to get into a multi-sig setup, and we've got plans as low as $10 a month there. So if you can afford streaming video, then surely you can afford a similar amount to secure your wealth. But that is just at the technological level. We've got several higher tier solutions that are basically a lot more hands-on. If you want to have a dedicated client advisor, if you're looking for more of like a private banking relationship, then we've got you covered, you know, whatever level of security, whatever level of service you're interested in.
By the way, our show does get dubbed into Spanish, transmits all across the Latin American world, many Spanish speakers. So Casa, of course, is house in Spanish. It's a house for your keys. They help you key manage, you know, for your Bitcoin holdings, your hodlings. So You know, is it open actually to everybody in the world, including across Latin America?
Yeah, we have no geographic limitations. There, you know, could be potential language limitations depending on, you know, how well someone understands English, since we have not yet internationalized, but that's certainly on the roadmap. And we have customers all over the world. And as I mentioned before, we even have customers who are distributing their keys all over the world, if that's the threat model that they're trying to solve.
You know, there's a lot of memes in the Bitcoin space, and we live in a meme economy. And I often joke that Tesla stock is mostly a meme. The valuation is driven more by a meme than it is by the actual production of cars. You know, we've seen some memes, famous memes in the Bitcoin space, like money printer go brr. There's also a meme out there called, oh, tragic boating accident, right? Tragic boating accident meme tells us the importance of privacy and security in a monetary sovereign world, which can be achieved with Bitcoin. I take it, Casa, can you just comment on this, Jameson? This is really a gap in the marketplace, this need to secure one's wealth in a world of hackers and folks out there, bad guys, black hat hackers, etc. There's a lot of, you know, hacking going on out there. And in the Bitcoin community, they're quite familiar with this. And one of the strategies has been to just declare everything got lost in a boating accident, right? But I think we're kind of moving beyond that now, because Bitcoin's becoming very mainstream. And you do have a possibility now for the first time to separate money from state. And I think that's it's the first time in history this has ever happened. And so Casa is a big part of that, because you're not sovereign to any state. You don't even hold the customer's keys. You're just providing a service that allows for self-sovereignty. Can you comment?
Yeah, we are very consciously trying to avoid becoming a regulated financial service. And we do that by ensuring that we don't hold a sufficient threshold of keys that we could ever block anyone from creating a transaction or create a transaction without someone's approval. We do hold one emergency backup key for our multi-sig users, and we have a whole authentication process around that that is very difficult to actually get used. It's really meant to happen if they have screwed up their other keys and they need some help reconstituting their setup. But whole meme of, you know, the boating accident, I think it actually goes back to gold bugs and firearm enthusiasts. You know, if the government might be coming for your gold or your guns, then, you know, they can't prove you didn't lose it in a tragic boating accident.
That's genius. Now, you know, again, the article I started off with, 15% of American adults, they say, now own some form of cryptocurrency. And I just really, really need to reiterate this. And we've all been around for a long time in this space. It is the complete opposite of the traditional financing system that we're used to, the banking system, where you get bailed out from everything. Everything is insured, everything is bailed out. You don't have to think at all. So your service kind of allows some of that. Like, you don't have, like, you plan on the human inevitability of being stupid, of losing your keys or your seed phrase. Like, people do that. You just lose it. Your computer blows up, and that's where you had all the backups. Like, so, like, elaborate more on that. Like, how you remove human stupidity, because you, the individual out there who just bought Bitcoin for the first time, are stupid. We all are, and you will lose that stuff. So how do you protect from the stupidity?
This is the main problem that we're trying to solve and fill in this gap in the market that Max mentioned, which is that before now, if you wanted to self-custody, you were generally on your own. I mean, there's plenty of software out there to choose from, but then you have to learn how to use it. You have to figure out, you know, how to think adversarially and think about every possible thing that could go wrong. And quite frankly, most people, they don't live in that type of mindset. And it's very easy to overlook edge cases or just to assume, oh, that'll never happen to me. And eventually, you know, These things happen to somebody. So we build in resiliency so that you can screw up. You can lose a key. You can make a mistake and it's okay, because that it won't be your one and only key to your money. You will have additional backups automatically out there and distributed, and you can use those to essentially repair whatever mistake you've had in your setup.
There's also another huge advantage to this. You've been tweeting about this. I think you came up with this concept of Schrodinger's Bitcoin, which I'll get to in a second. I just want to remind folks also that you're on Twitter, and your handle on Twitter is LOPP, L-O-P-P. And it's also a fantastic resource for educational links. And you cover really the whole history with really quality links, and you avoid all the lesser folks out there that are on the fringe of this industry who don't do as good a job providing education. And it's L-O-P-P on Twitter. But Schrodinger's Bitcoin refers to the idea that you own Bitcoin, you have Bitcoin, but you're so freaked out about accessing that Bitcoin that you never go there and use it or spend it because you're afraid, because you might mess it up and lose it. And that's a real fear people have. So with a setup like Casa, actually, once you get the hang of it and you feel secure, you know, actually, you might actually spend some Bitcoin every now and then. Not that people are doing much of that these days. But, you know, if you wanted to go out and buy a new car and spend your Bitcoin, you know, you could do it, right? So it kind of adds that also is another dimension or a feature of this product, Jameson. What do you think?
There's this issue of until you spend your Bitcoin, you can't be 100% sure that you can spend your Bitcoin. We've heard stories of people with paper wallets, with hardware wallets, with all types of really older generational storage that they have strewn all over the place that they never touch, they never plug in, they never upgrade, because they're afraid that any of those actions might either destroy the keys or might result in them learning that they actually lost access to the keys long ago. And one of the really innovative things about the Casa software that we've set up is actually it has a feature we call health checks. So you can actually go to any of your devices and request to do a health check through our app. You plug in your device and it actually creates a cryptographic signature using your private keys that is really validating that you have access to them without even creating a transaction, without doing anything public on the blockchain. It's just a private verification that that device is still functional.
If we're entering this new post-fiat, post-nanny state world where there's always a printing press to bail everything out, you know, Jameson Lopp here, he's an amazing resource, whether or not you sign up for a Casa, because this is his living. This is what he does. He examines every single possible threat, you know, vector into your life. And he writes this on his blog. You can read about that. So as we enter this sort of, geopolitical, geoeconomic, post-fiat world, like, what are some of the biggest threat vectors that you see in terms of not only just like the fiat system collapsing, but in general, like what have you seen in your own observations and studies of all these sort of issues?
I mean, the biggest problem in cybersecurity is it's the trade-off to this amazing communication network that we've created. The internet has freed so many people. It has freed up so much economic potential. It has freed up so much information and education. But as we've seen the flip side of that, there's the misinformation, there's the hacking, there's the attacking, and there is the fact that information wants to be free, which is great when the information is a positive thing that's educational. But the flip side is that it works for information that you want to keep private. And so whenever you're putting your own private information anywhere, even if that's buying things with credit cards online, if that's buying physical things that are getting shipped to you, that you're giving out your physical address to, your information is getting strewn all over the internet to hundreds, if not thousands, of different trusted third parties. And it's only a matter of time before it gets leaked, whether on purpose or on accident. And that is one of the greatest challenges that I have been dealing with, and that I think humanity in general will be dealing with, is how do we ensure and maintain our privacy in the information age?
Of course, Jameson was covered in the New York Times, quite featured there, you know, because you were, I guess what they call in America, swatted. And that's part of our whole police state situation. But you know, you disappeared. And, you know, I also myself, I was subject to that hack of one of the credit rating agencies. So my Social Security leaked online and you know, yeah, so that's, I mean, is there any service yet, the equivalent of a CASA service to protect your online identity?
I would really like for there to be a single service like that, but unfortunately, it really comes down to setting up a variety of different proxies. You know, if you read through my materials, it's, you know, proxies for internet use, proxies for physical mailbox use, proxies for financial services. It's unfortunately, it creates a lot of complexity in your life to sort of create legal shields, technological shields, even human shields to make it hard for people to find your actual information. And I'm not particularly confident that it's going to get that much easier anytime soon.
Jameson Lopp, thanks so much for being on Kaiser Report.
Thanks for having me.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of Kaiser Report Summer Solutions with Max and Stacy. If you want to catch us on Twitter, it's Kaiser Report. Until next time, bye, y'all.